Chapter 10. Rachel. The council still talked with each other, but in hushed voices. We all became more aware of our surroundings now that we had made it to the outer wilds, none of us ever wanting to forget the damage the zombies had done.
I haven't seen many zombies or any lichlings this far north,
Erwin mentioned.
But we should still be on guard now that we're outside of the walls.
Eri still led our party, followed by Rosmarin and Kristoff, then me. I followed behind the two and watched the way Kristoff turned his head from side to side to look around him, or how every so often he turned and smiled at Rosmarin. Onyx trailed behind us with a carriage of luggage, and Sahar followed. Every so often, I looked back to check on my companions, and Sahar would have her eyes closed, sometimes mumbling a spell under her breath. I wondered if she was scrying ahead, using her sorcery to see what obstacles lay in our path. The summer sun beat down, making me sweat in my leather corset and pants. Rosmarin insisted that we all wore light armor, and we had packed more heavier suits, fearing a battle in Nahuatl. I had my crescent-shaped wool doe strapped to my back, and my companions carried their own weapons. Rosmarin had a gleaming sword that hung down from her side, while Kristoff had strapped his dagger to his hip. Erwin opted for a bow, but carried some smaller dagger strapped to her legs, and the mighty Onyx brought her large greatsword. Zahar's weapon was her magic. Not that I was eager for any more battles, but I had to admit, watching my friends fight off zombies and demons was an amazing sight to see. Each of the council members had been fighting in battles for longer than Kristoff had been alive, but even he showed amazing skill, especially with his powers. Maybe that's partly why I felt confident that we would complete our mission without a hitch. My companions were living legends, known across the world for their prowess in battle. I squinted as I looked up into the cloudless sky, wishing for some kind of cover from the heat beating down on us. We each carried bladders of water and refilled them at streams and ponds purified by Sahar. Kristoff took a long draught of his own, and some of the liquid spilled down his face and neck.
"Moderation is key, my lord."
Rosmarin grinned at him before taking a swig of her own water.
"Who needs moderation when you have a sorceress on your side?"
he replied.
"True, but let's not abuse our dear friend's powers."
The vampire queen returned. I smiled at my friend, happy to see Rosmarin in a good mood. I know she had felt that weight of the world return to her shoulders after receiving word from Sophia. Taking other people's problems as her own was just a part of who she was, and if me standing beside her helped somewhat, that I was happy to be out here in the wilds with her. After a few hours of travel through grasslands, I saw a silhouette stretching across the horizon in the distance. I squinted, unsure of what I was looking at until Erwin spoke up.
"Aha!"
she called out.
"We've almost made it to the Carwyn Forest."
While I had seen the evergreen trees in Constanta and the forests of the Constantan Mountains, this vast woodland outstripped them all. And as we neared the edge, mighty trees towered into the blue sky. Massive cities of steel and concrete used to dominate the countryside. But after the zombies laid waste, nature had taken over with a vengeance. We entered under the canopy of trees into the cool shade of the forest, a welcome respite from the hot sun. The trees towered over us, their trunks the sizes of houses. Birds chirped and sang melodies as they danced in the tree branches. Squirrels and other small creatures scurried along the forest floor and up the massive trunks.
"This is an ancient forest,"
Sahar informed us.
"Can you feel the magic in the air?"
I closed my eyes and allowed my other senses to take over. The forest felt alive, like one interconnected, living, breathing organism existing for hundreds of years and unconcerned with me and my worries.
This forest was here before I was born, and it would continue long after my death.
Magic vibrated through the air, causing the hair on my arms to stand straight up.
I can feel it!
Kristoff shouted, making me pop my eyes open and look at him.
Very good, Kristoff.
Sahar praised.
Feel that ancient power and let it flow through you. Maybe it will teach you something about your own powers.
The sorceress was completely in her element among the ancient trees and creatures. She soaked up the magic, and every so often she would stop to collect some moss or flowers and add them to her assortment of potions and goods in the carriage. As much as I liked the experience of being in the forest, a part of me was on edge, not knowing what else might lurk out there. But I imagined Sahar could spend years in the forest happily communing with it. As our caravan continued deeper into the forest, Kristoff took Sahar's advice to heart and did his best to stay in a meditative state. Sometimes his head would loll forward, and Rosmer and I took turns smacking him awake. When he wasn't dozing off, he told us he was allowing the magic of the old forest to speak to me, and he tried different methods of channeling it or letting the light within him connect with the soft vibrations of the forest. The further into the woods we traveled, the denser the trees grew, to the point where barely any sun managed to seep through the treetops. Near the edge of the forest, the trees were spaced apart, and a slight breeze had wafted through. But in here, the air became heavier, almost stuffy. It was like the trees were closing in on us. Little glowing eyes peeked out from the dark trees and bushes at us. Something quickly darted out of a tree to the left, and Kristoff whipped his head around to catch a glimpse.
Wood nymphs,
Aerie stated as she looked both above us and all around. I shook my head.
I hate these things.
If we do no harm, they will let us be.
Sahar's voice came from beside me, calm and soothing.
They are the stewards of this forest.
Thankfully, a little old path still ran through the trees, but at some points we had to stop to determine the correct way. I assumed not many travelers came through, but someone still must have tended to the trail every so often. We made a few stops for meals, and for Sahar to collect her oddities, but even at our leisurely pace, we made decent time. Erwin told us the trip through Carwyn Forest would take about 5 days, and then we should reach a village on the south side. After hours of travel, darkness began closing in around us. Rosmarin didn't think the sun had fully set yet, but we were so deep in the forest that night wrapped around us even earlier. Erwin led us off the path a short distance to make camp. I dismounted my horse and stretched out my arms and legs, sore from the day's long journey. Kristoff helped Rosmarin off her horse and wrapped her in a hug. They stood there in each other's arms as they so often did.
Oh, get a room,
I yelled to the couple. He gave Rosmarin a kiss and then came over to the cart to help me unload some of our belongings from the carriage.
You're just jealous,
he teased. I glared at him, but my frown turned into a smirk at the edges of my mouth. I chucked a bag at him as he pushed past and he couldn't help but return the grin. I had to admit, I really was a little jealous. I dropped the bags near our camp where Erwin had started collecting a pile of sticks for a fire. Thanks to Sahar, a canopy of silks now hung over our camp, and nice padded rugs covered the forest detritus for us to sit and sleep on. Rosmarin dropped a bundle of blankets on the now carpeted ground.
Let's get a fire going,
she suggested.
Would you like to do the honors, light bearer?
Sahar asked, turning to Chris. Without giving our question much thought, he grabbed some flint and steel from his pack, but the sorceress stopped him.
I meant your powers,
she corrected. He frowned at her.
Is that such a good idea?
You still need lots of practice, and this is as good as any,
she chided.
If you insist.
He conceded. He sighed and walked over to the bundle of kindling in the center of camp. He closed his eyes and breathed in deeply like he was back in his meditations. After a quiet moment, he stretched a hand out and then opened his eyes. 5 small rays of light discharged from his fingertips into the pile of wood, and it erupted in flames.
Excellent job.
Zahar gushed. Onyx, Eri, and I clapped, and Rosmarin rushed over, wrapping her arms around him from behind, and whispered to him,
Well done, my love.
We sat around Kristoff's campfire and cooked food as we talked about the day's events, and how we thought everyone back in Constanta was faring without us.
I'm sure they don't even miss us.
Erwin giggled as she stirred a pot of stew on the fire.
Maybe they'll forget all about us.
I mused as I sipped from a wooden cup of blood. Onyx snorted.
You wish, vampire.
After we had eaten and drank our fill, we each claimed different sections of the camp to sleep. Rosmarin and Kristoff curled up underneath a fur blanket, and I chose a spot a little ways away from them. And after the long day, we were soon fast asleep. At some point in the night, I can't say how many hours of sleep I had managed to get, I awoke to the sounds of rustling nearby. I lay still, fully awake, but not daring to move as I tried to decipher what creature might lurk in the dark. As I tried to look around without moving anything but my eyes, I caught movement to the right of me near the fire, now only smoking embers. One of our bags was slowly moving along the ground, jerking forward eerily. My mind searched for an explanation. Maybe it was wraiths or ghosts, or perhaps a hidden sorcerer was magically causing the bag to move. More movement attracted my attention from the far side of the camp. Some of the spare blankets stretched out and slithered off into the trees. One thing was clear. Someone or something was trying to steal our stuff. I crawled over to Rosmarin and I shook her lightly. Something is in our camp, I whispered, and slowly pointed to the bag dragging along the ground. Her silver eyes widened, lighting up even in the darkness.
On my count, she whispered. 1, 2, 3.
We sprang up, blades at the ready. We had been smart enough to sleep with them, and I was glad for the choice. In seconds after hearing our shouts, our companions were awake and up with their own weapons drawn.
Something's in our camp,
I shouted as I ran towards the moving bag. I kicked it, sending it flying across camp to reveal a small, greenish creature underneath the bag. It had skin like bark and branches growing from its head. I paused, cocking my head to the side, mystified by the tiny thing that stood no taller than the backpack I had just kicked, and then the creature let out a piercing shriek and bared its sharp rows of teeth at me. The thing lunged forward, latching itself onto my face. I screamed and tried to tear it off me, but it sank its fangs and claws into me, wildly slashing and biting at my face. In a second, it flew off me, landing a few feet away with an arrow sticking out of it. I turned to see Erwin, with her bow raised, and nodded at her in thanks. The creature's piercing yell must have alerted its friends, because soon, tiny green monsters overran the camp. Some tried to scratch and bite us, while others used the distraction to try to steal more of our gear. With a flurry of my blade, I cut as many down as possible, but more continued to flood in.
Now do you see why I hate these bastards?
I yelled as I killed the creatures with graceful spins and slashes with my crescent blade.
These are wood nymphs?
Kristoff shouted. I thought they'd leave us alone. Rosamarin's blade glinted in the dark, covered with several of the creature's green, gooey blood. Onyx swung her sword back and forth, cutting apart the tiny creatures. Zahar sent blasts of energy into them, sending them flying out of the camp.
These wood nymphs are far more aggressive than usual, she huffed as she shot another bolt of magic from her palm.
We continued mowing the things down until their tiny bodies littered the camp. As I cut down another nymph, a wave of energy blasted through the camp, and the remaining nymphs were sent flying into the trees. Sahar stood in the middle of camp, panting, with her hands on her knees for support.
"What would we do without you, Sahar?"
Kristoff breathed, trying to catch his breath.
"I hate wood nymphs," I reiterated for the third time that day,
and this time I got some nods from my friends.
"I'm not sure why they were so violent,"
Rosmarin commented.
"I wonder if something else is stirring in these woods."
Her comment hung in the air, and at that moment, I wanted nothing more than to be on the other side of this forest. Although the further south we were, the closer to danger we were as well.
"Let's make sure all our stuff is still here,"
Erwin offered. We did a quick check, and after locating some of our bags in the trees, we managed to find everything. Onyx helped load all our luggage back into the carriage, and she clapped her long hands together once she threw the last bag in.
"Good. All our luggage is accounted for."
Onyx breathed a large sigh of relief.
"We might as well head out,"
Erwin declared.
"Dawn is fast approaching anyway."
So we packed up the camp and set off as the forest turned gray in the morning light.